Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley, and our co-host is MJ Crowder.
You know, Jim, we're just going to jump in today because we have a lot of ground to cover.
A lot of winners to talk to.
We do this every year, but we have with us in studio the Right to Life of Indianapolis, the student contest winners. We should have bells. Listen, imagine, and their bells going off, if you will. They are the 2016 essay contest winners.
Big fanfare, drum roll.
We are big, big, wonderful families. We have Megan Wanning. She's from St. Malachy Catholic School in grade 7. We have grade 8, Grace Snyder, St. Maria Goretti Catholic School. 9 and 10, we have Faith Murrell, and she's homeschooled. And then grade 11 and 12, we have Madeline O'Rourke, also homeschooled. So this segment, we have a lot of ground to cover. Let's go back and start with Megan. Megan Wanning, welcome, welcome, welcome. Tell us a little bit about you. So you go to what school, Megan?
St. Malachy.
St. Malachy. And what side of town is St. Malachy on? Remind us.
It's in Brownsburg.
So west side of town. Okay, 7th grade, right?
Yeah.
All right, what was the topic that you were given to write on?
I was writing about the adults and people in my life who inspire me to promote respect for the worth and dignity of all human life.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's good.
Was that a topic that was assigned by the teacher, or did you come up with your own topic?
My teacher gave us a topic to write about.
So all the kids wrote about the same thing. You didn't get a choice.
There was one category for 7th grade and one for 8th grade.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Megan, tell us a little bit about you. What do you do? What's your favorite subject? Favorite.
I like English.
Really? Well, that's a first. That's a first. Good for you. Okay. Do you have a special hobby or activity, extracurricular activity after school?
I like choir, and I love to sing.
Did you ever get involved with the Indianapolis Children's Choir?
No.
No? Does St. Malachy's have a choir?
Yeah.
I wish we had time to have you sing something for us. I don't want to make you nervous or anything. Okay. Brothers and sisters, tell us a little bit about your family. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One brother and one sister.
One brother and one sister. Are you the oldest or in the middle?
I'm the oldest.
Good. Keep them in line. Oldest is good. Is a good spot to be in. All right, and I understand there's a huge move in your future.
Yeah, we're moving to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh. I did not know it was Hershey. Oh, my gosh. I just have to tell you this. Best family vacation ever. Ever, ever, ever. My husband got a really big bonus one year, and we took all the kids to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and we did Washington, D.C., but I will never forget driving into the city, and the whole city smells like chocolate. Smells like chocolate. And, Jim, are you ready for this? The street lamps are kisses.
Oh.
And not red kisses either. Oh, you are going to love this. Okay. All right. So let's just jump right in. Megan Wanning, essay. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Right to Life of Indianapolis promotes respect for the worth and dignity of all human life. Using this example, there are many adults in my life who have taught me to protect and defend all life, including the unborn and the elderly. My parents have taught me to respect the dignity of life. They helped me understand that everyone is created in the image and likeness of God. They have always been excellent role models. They never try to push others down. They are always very friendly and respectful when they meet new people. This has influenced my actions throughout my life. It showed me that there are many little ways to respect life. Another adult in my life who has taught me to respect everyone's dignity and worth is my religion teacher, Mrs. Carson. She always lets us know when the 40 days for life is going on. She also reminds us to pray, either thanking God for the gift of all life or asking Him to be with the unborn and elderly during this time. Last year, Mrs. Carson took a group of students to pray in front of the abortion center. I went with them, and this experience made me realize that some babies don't even receive the gift of life. We prayed for the unborn children and their mothers. We also asked God to guide authorities to make the right decision and outlaw abortion. This past October, my friend, Jillian, and her mom, Mrs. Conway, took me to a pro-life chain. After my experience last year, I was interested in other ways to demonstrate the need for all people to respect life. Mrs. Conway explained that we would still pray, but we would be holding signs and facing the road. This was a different experience for me. I was surprised by the number of people who did not agree with what we are doing. These people yelled rude comments at us as we were standing silently. Since I have always tried to respect life and am surrounded in my community with people who also try to respect life, I didn't realize how many people felt differently. I am thankful for the many adults in my life who influence and guide me to respect everyone's dignity and worth. I feel that without these wonderful people in my life, I would not be where I am today.
Yay. Bravo. Bravo. You did wonderfully. And that, again, was Megan Wanning. She is the seventh grade winner from St. Malachy Catholic School. God bless you.
The Great Lakes Gabriel Project is an ever-growing Christian-based network of church volunteers standing together in their commitment to offer assistance to women and families facing difficult or unplanned pregnancies.
I'm Eileen Hartman with Great Lakes Gabriel Project. If you're interested in volunteering to help this life-affirming effort, please go to our website, goangels.org, for more information.
Anytime you get in the car, turn on the radio, you know that there's going to be something encouraging.
It's such an encouragement and enriching to my own Christian walk.
It brings me a great deal of peace.
I really am blessed whenever I listen.
Catholic Radio Indy.
And now it's time to hear our winner from the 9th and 10th grade competition. Our winner this year is a homeschooler. I usually ask homeschoolers how they like their teacher, but I'll forego that and just introduce our 9th and 10th grade winner, Faith Morrell.
The pro-choice position describes the fetus as a lump of tissue. A baby is not a human, but an inanimate glob of cells that can be disposed of or kept depending on personal preference. Millions of men and women have fallen for the lie that babies are nothing and that abortion will liberate them. Though some claim abortion was a blessing, many others feel the crushing physical and psychological consequences of murdering their child. However, there is hope for those who have been traumatized by experiencing or participating in an abortion. Some physical consequences women face include a higher chance of breast cancer, infertility, miscarriage, substance abuse, and even death. A suction abortion process can cause bleeding, swelling, infection, uterine perforation, cervical tears, and incomplete abortion. Some medical treatments can result in recurrent uterine pain and bleeding, pelvic infection, ruptured ectopic pregnancy, and incomplete abortion. Although an abortion might rid a couple of an unwanted child, the major physical repercussions render the abortion process extremely dangerous for the woman, especially if she is a young teenager. Perhaps the mental consequences of having an abortion are more detrimental than physical effects. According to the American Pregnancy Association, possible emotional and psychological results include regret, anger, guilt, shame, a sense of loneliness or isolation, loss of self-confidence, insomnia or nightmares, relationship issues, suicidal thoughts and feelings, eating disorders, depression, and anxiety. Many women and girls realize that they are mothers of unborn children, not clumps of tissue or blobs of cells. Those coerced, persuaded, or unsupported by a significant other often suffer more from the psychological repercussions of abortion. Men also endure severe emotional and mental consequences as a result of abortion. A man who opposed the abortion generally obsesses over it afterward, feeling grief, guilt, and rage at those involved in the abortion and himself for not being able to protect his partner or his child. This strong passion might manifest itself in forms of substance abuse and sexual addictions. Those men who claimed neutrality, declaring they would support their partner's decision whether it be for or against an abortion, do not usually suffer acutely psychologically, but always remember the experience. When a man forces an abortion or his partner has one without asking him, the relationship typically dissolves due to misunderstanding and distrust. The most devastating effect of abortion on men is the loss of self-respect. When the man fails to support his partner when others force her to abort her unborn baby, he may experience a sense of emasculation. He believes himself guilty of not shielding his partner, not caring for her, or defending her against those who pushed for an abortion. He thinks himself to have failed in his role as a male. Some might mask their emotions and struggle through life, possibly causing unresolved grief or depression. Others simply surrender all control, allowing spouses, family, friends, or significant others to make all decisions. The negative effects of abortion are severe and unavoidable. Thankfully, many people have stepped up to address this problem through various forms of counseling. A person can choose between in-person or online help, and resources that offer a spiritual component or not. Ministries such as Project Rachel serve people struggling with the aftermath of abortion by providing compassionate individual care or support groups. These organizations and people realize that the 58 million abortions performed since Roe v. Wade mean countless men and women who suffer the devastating physical and psychological effects of the pro-choice movement. Let us take action to alleviate their pain and prevent others from experiencing it.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then below that, in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. We are today chatting with, of course, the Right to Life essay winners.
All and the big winners, the number one winners.
Yeah, now we have. We're actually going to go to Madeline O'Rourke, the number one winner. Before we get to that, though, Mark, we didn't chat with you at the top of the hour, and we, of course, have Mark Tuttle with us, president of Right to Life of Indianapolis. I thought we'd just catch up with you a little bit, and then at the end, because there's been so much going on with Right to Life of Indianapolis, all of the state fairs and the dinners. So let's start with the county fair, state fair. Tell us.
We finally finished with fair season, and, you know, that's a lot of fun to be out there. We're always very well received, and the best part is you get all these stories. Yeah. So we have our fetal models out there.
Yeah.
And they basically have models throughout pregnancy. And so we wind up with moms coming by to kind of check how far along they are in their pregnancies. And we wind up with other moms coming by to teach their kids. And then we also hear the heartbreaking stories of the people who've either had abortions in the past and now regret it and are willing to talk about it a little bit. Or, just kind of, you get a feel of the toll that abortions had on society as a whole. But overall, it's a fantastic experience to be out there.
Okay, and I know, Mark, that this is from visiting the booth, and I was one of those moms, yes, that picked up a baby and put it next to my belly to show the kids. This is about, although my belly was always so much bigger than what the baby looked like. but I love your booth. I absolutely love your booth. now you have a big dinner coming up, and I do want to, listeners, if you've got a pencil or pen, we will mention this again at the end of the show, but dinner.
Yes, our Celebrate Life dinner is going to be October 4th. Down at the convention center, and we will be featuring our speech contest winner there, and our art contest winner will be gracing the page of the program. So we'll have kind of a continuation of our contest winners there. And our keynote speaker is going to be Sue Ellen Browder. And MJ, you would love Sue Ellen. She is a journalist that used to write for Cosmo, Vanity Fair, New Women magazine. And she realized two things. She realized, first off, that she wasn't aspiring to the lifestyle she was selling. She wanted the house in the suburbs with the white picket fence, you know, all of that. Yeah, she wasn't aspiring to the kind of lifestyle that she would associate with Cosmo. And second of all, she started to see the toll that what she was writing was taking on women.
Oh, my.
And so she had a big change of heart. And now her message is that the pro-life movement is the true feminist movement for the 21st century. So fascinating woman, fascinating talk. And like I said, I think you particularly would love her.
Mm. Well, let me give you a little P.S. Last year at the Right to Life dinner, at a little pre-cocktail intro, I met Pastor Boyd. And he came, and actually, I asked him to be a guest on Catholic Radio and talk about it. And he was just called me a few weeks ago, and I think he was—he either aired last week or the week before. And he called me this year. He called me this year and said, "I would love to talk to talk to your listeners again." And I thought that made me feel so good. How small the world is and how far it reaches. Okay, Madeline O'Rourke.
Hey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so you hail from kind of an interesting school. Tell us about that, Madeline.
Well, I've been actually homeschooled all the way from first grade through high school, and I just graduated this year.
Graduated this year?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What is graduation ceremony like for a homeschool?
Well, it depends on the curriculum you use, but with our family, it's kind of what you make of it. So my older sister wrote her own speech, and I didn't make a big deal about it. I was just glad to be done.
And so you
I tell you, she was the salute of the valedictorian.
I was just going to ask.
And the salutatorian, all in one.
Yeah, top of my class.
Top of her class.
And I was the slowest, too.
Okay, so God bless your mother and father for that.
Yeah.
God bless them. I took mine as far as eighth grade, and I didn't even think of tackling high school. So God bless you. Tell us a little bit about the essay that you wrote. Well, first, I'm interested in family, brothers, sisters.
I have 9 brothers and sisters, so there's 10 of us in all. It's a lot
of
fun.
God bless you. Okay, and where do you fall in that? What number are you?
I'm number 4.
Number 4. Okay, so not quite middle, but good. So lots under you.
Yeah.
All right. And what parish?
We go to Holy Rosary downtown.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Yeah Father Ryan McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a wonderful priest. Okay, and the theme for the essay this year, did you choose it or was it assigned to you by?
It was assigned.
Okay, and what was the theme for you?
It was about why the abortion rate, why it was declining.
Oh, okay. What we love thought. It. Love it. Okay, how long did it take you to write the essay?
Well, I actually just did a lot of research and planning, and so by the time I sat down to write it, it took me about 2 hours.
Yeah, good. The research and planning is, you know, I've heard if you do that, the paper kind of writes itself, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, when you're ready, Madeline, jump right in.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, alive and flourishing. I remember looking down at my dirt-soiled hands as I tried to pluck a large prickly weed from my mother's flower bed. Finally, the stalk of the weed snapped, and I triumphantly held the large, leafy intruder. Much to my dismay, I was then told that I had left the root. You have to dig up the roots if you really want to remove the weeds. I hopelessly stared at the root, which was buried deep in the ground. Then my mom handed me a screwdriver. With this tool, suddenly the job was manageable. Interestingly, this memory has been to me an analogy for the abortion issue. Abortion is the weed which has infested our society. In recent years, the number of abortions has been declining, and many are interested in discovering the cause. The pro-life movement believes that education about this topic and recent laws which restrict abortion has led to the above result. In Indiana, many restrictive laws have been passed. Abortions have declined 20% from 2010 to 2013. Equally claiming credit, the pro-abortion movement says that sex education in schools and government-subsidized birth control have led to the wide use of contraceptives, stemming the need for abortions. They back up this belief with the fact that in Nevada, Hawaii, and New Mexico, abortion rates have fallen the most, and these states have no new restrictive measures passed. Additionally, Professor of Fertility Economics Elizabeth Annatt at Duke University states, if women's attitudes were really shifting, we should see the birth rate go up. Instead, the birth rates are falling too. Thus, it seems reasonable to attribute the decline mainly to increased prevention of pregnancies. The reduction in abortion numbers leads me to wonder if abortion will die out in the near future. In order to discover the realistic probability of this assumption, the root of abortion must be examined. If the root is also dying, surely the weed will be eliminated. The motives for obtaining an abortion usually are due to the child posing an obstacle to the mother's future, relationships, or health. The baby is viewed as an inconvenience to its parents. Through abortion, the adults involved put themselves before the welfare of the baby. That is the root of abortion, putting oneself first, also called selfishness. While contraception diminishes the need for abortions, as long as parents selfishly seek their own interests, if the contraceptive fails, their recourse will most likely be a choice made out of their practiced selfishness. As long as selfishness continues to remain firmly rooted in our society, abortion will never be weeded out. We are not the first to face a society with deep-seated self-absorption. The early Christians lived under Romans who performed abortions, used contraception, and even abandoned their unwanted children to die. The Christians transformed that pagan society by radical adherence to the Christian message of selflessness. Attracted to the love and joy found in Christians' lives, many Romans began to desire lives absorbed with loving others. Like the early Christians, we possess the tool to eradicate abortion, living lives that are the antithesis of selfishness. Everyone who is pro-life should be able to look at their hands, dirt soiled from tirelessly uprooting selfishness in their own lives. The scent of the fruits of love and joy from those who have toiled will attract those starving for this loving truth. As each weed is plucked up and every root dug out, the society will be transformed from a barren wasteland to a garden, alive and flourishing.
Bravo.
Very nice.
Bravo.
Very, very
wonderful.
Nice.
Wonderful and thoughtfully put together. Madeline O'Rourke, essay winner and recent high school graduate. God bless you.
Very good.
Mark, the dinner, one more time.
October 4th, and our speaker is Sue Ellen Browder, and you can register online at rtlindy.org. That's rtlindy.org. We just sent out invitations, so you can send in your invitation, or you can call us at our office, 582-1526.
Okay, so we've heard from Megan Wanning, we've heard from Faith Murrell, we've heard from Madeline O'Rourke, and now Grace Snyder, St. Maria Goretti Catholic School. Let's hear your essay.
Hi, my name is Grace Snyder from St. Maria Goretti, and I'm reading my 8th grade Right to Life essay today. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., has had two abortions in her lifetime. One of her abortions was involuntary, which meant that she had an abortion without her will or conscience being in control, but one of her abortions was voluntary. Today she has 6 children, and she is a pro-life activist even though she was a post-abortive mother. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream that his children would be judged by the content of their character. Much like her uncle, Alveda King has a dream about her children too. Her dream is that her kids will live in an abortion-free world that will continue to live on until the end of time. Alveda King has had 2 abortions and 2 divorces in her life, and Jesus was there through all of it. Jesus was her friend who helped her through very challenging parts of her life, but he created a new world for her to view. He opened Alveda King's eyes so that she could see the harm that she has done, but he also forgave her for aborting the babies. God rescued me from a cycle of death, and the only thing that kept me from losing it was knowing I will one day see my babies in heaven, she said. Alveda King dealt with so much guilt knowing that she chose to abort one child, and her entire family had to suffer with her. God knew the decisions that Alveda King was going to make, but he let her continue because he gave us free will. Even though she had an abortion, God still had his plan for Alveda King. He wanted her to change the world for women, men, and babies. Today, Alveda King travels all over the world to tell people about the importance of being pro-life. Alveda King is a recipient of the Life Prize Award, the Cardinal John O'Connor Pro-Life Hall of Fame Award from the Legatus Organization, and the Civil Rights Award from Congress of Racial Equality. She is a best-selling author with these books: King Rules, 10 Truths for You, Your Family, and Our Nation to Prosper, How Can the Dream Survive If We Murder the Children, and I Don't Want Your Man, I Want My Own. Alveda King serves on many boards such as the Heartbeat International,
Georgia Right to Life, MLK Center, Bible Curriculum in Public Schools, and Abortion Recovery International. She is also a member of the National Black Pro-Life Coalition and is a senior fellow with the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society. Alveda often appears on television with Fox News. Alveda King wants everyone to know that she chooses life and that we should choose life too. Everyone deserves a chance at life because you only get to experience life on earth once. Pope Francis says, "The right to life is the first amongst human rights. To abort a child is to kill someone who cannot defend himself." He is right. The very first thing that a human receives is the gift of life. Life is too precious to be thrown away. Let us continue to change the world with our thoughts, prayers, and actions. Thank you.
An interview with Brother Trenton Rout and how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just got to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. At the same time, I was learning about the faith, having that accessible, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
With all the things going on in the world right now, it's nice to have hope.
When I'm having a really tough day, it really helps me get through.
It's just like their program was just meant for you.
Catholic Radio Indy.
It's the only radio station I listen to.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. God bless each and every one of you for joining us on Faith in Action. It's been a delight. It always is. Mark, one more time, the dinner and the details of how we can get involved.
Right. Our Celebrate Life dinner will be at the Indiana Convention Center on October 4th. Sue Ellen Browder, journalist who wrote for Cosmo, Vanity Fair, and has had a change of heart. She's going to be our keynote speaker. And you can register online by going to rtlindy.org or calling us at 582-1526.
Wonderful. God bless each of us.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.